I'm joined by the ATP Chief Executive, Chris Kermode. Thanks for your time, Chris. The big shock here at Wimbledon over the weekend, Novak Djokovic going out. I mean, how surprised were you?
Well, it was amazing. I'm not surprised, just because, you know, sport is unscripted drama and stuff, you know, and it happens. I think what's caught everyone by surprise is just, you know, his past record over the last year. But, you know, what it shows is the depth in the men's game is always, you know, it's so strong, and the potential for these upsets are there week in, week out. And I think it further enhances what an incredible achievement Novak has, you know, has had over the last year, in that people are now, you know, so shocked that he actually loses a tennis match. But the depth in the men's game, it's there week in, week out for these top guys to face.
We saw that a week ago, didn't we, with Marcus Willis, at the time ranked 772 in the world, but beating someone who's ranked nearly like over 700 places above him.
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible story. I mean, that was the Hollywood Tin Cup story. You know, it's an emotional story, and it got world attention as a result of that. But it shows the gap between the, you know, the top players all the way down is so slight. And, you know, the difference between being in the top five, being number one in the world, you know, and then the rest, there's not, you know, there's not much in it.
Yeah, you were appointed for a second term earlier this year. What are your priorities?
Well, the biggest thing for me is the game is in the best place, health, men's professional tennis, that it's ever been. So all our commercial numbers, all our commercial revenues, the on-site attendance, the TV numbers, we had over a billion people watch ATP World Tour events last year. So the challenge is, how can we continue for the next 10 years to be this relevant? And we're looking at ways to enhance our product, how we showcase the talent, and building this next generation of players, of which you've seen a few of these next-gen players coming through already here at Wimbledon.
We'll talk about that next gen in just a moment. I think it's one of something quite close to you. There have been some high profile negative incidents in tennis this year. Just quickly, the WADA prohibited list. We have seen, obviously, Maria Sharapova is serving her ban for using meldonium. That's going through an appeal process at the moment. In terms of when the WADA give those lists to the athletes, what do you do, the ATP, and even when the WTA as well, how much communication do you have with your players to check those lists, to make sure they know what they can and can't take?
So we have updated lists all the time. We have constant communication with players on a weekly basis. We have a player weekly sort of newsletter that is, you know, will update them on any changes to any of the sort of ban lists, but and a broader range of subjects. They also have a player zone that they go into on the internet that they can log into, so all that information is there. We have a player services team that are on the ground with tour managers that speak to players. We notify agents, so everyone is fully notified.
Yeah, and we have the match fixing allegations which surfaced around the Australian Open whilst that was going on. How important is it that tennis keeps on top of things like that? Because it's all about protecting the sport's integrity.
Yeah, it's hugely important. I mean, the integrity of the sport is paramount to our business. And, you know, the allegations in Australia first actually started with governing bodies being corrupt in sport, which is completely untrue. And which is why we took the step that, you know, unfortunately in the past there have been other sports where the sports administrator of that sport has stood up on a world stage and said our sport is totally clean. And then sadly, 6 months or a year down the line, things have come out. We are not in that situation, but what I did take the view is the public don't need to believe us as the ATP, and we started an independent review board which are looking at everything from top to bottom in our sport, and so that report will come out of anything that's going on, and we are totally confident in our players and in the sport in general.
I mean, it's a very small minority of players anyway, and it would be most likely be the players anyway that aren't would be struggling to make a living. So you're looking below the ATP tour, really, aren't we? Looking at more the ITF events, or is it, yeah, you can't be that complacent, really.
We just can't be complacent. So we've got to be, you know, constantly, you know, vigilant and on this. But you know, it is worth pointing out that, you know, where the first allegations came through were, it was about betting alerts, suspicious betting patterns, and they don't necessarily mean that a game is fixed. It's just you get an unusual odds, you get a player that, you know, a low-ranked player that maybe plays on a favourite surface against a higher-ranked player. But even on the betting alerts, it was 0.2% that we had in 120,000 tennis matches. So 99.8% of matches didn't even have a betting alert. And yes, down at the lower ranks where, you know, maybe it's these matches are played in front of people with no crowds, in quite remote places. We do, you know, that's clearly the target to get these players, but we have the ATP University, we have an education process in place to tell these players, make them aware of the potential dangers of this.
Now, a bit more positive again, Next Generation campaign. Can you tell us about that? Because it's something that, is it something you've introduced yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, we're all sport faces, you know, a changing of the guard, and we are in this, you know, process right now. We've had a very fortunate position to be in, where we've had four probably of the biggest tennis stars ever in one generation. They're actually even transcended the sport. They become global sporting icons, and we just need to be ready when, over the next 2 or 3 years, whenever these four, you know, start playing less and then exit the sport, to promote this next gen. And we have a huge amount of talent, and the great advantage we have on the the ATP World Tour is that these players are coming from a geographically diverse spread. So we are a truly global sports entertainment product, and we've now got, you know, Germans and Americans and Europeans and South Americans and Asians and Australians back in the game. They're very exciting, they're very charismatic, they play in different ways, but it's our responsibility as a tour to tell that story.
Is there a possibility that they'll get their own end of season event? Is that being talked about as well?
Yeah, so we're having this under 21, 21 and under event. We're going to do it next year in between the Paris Masters and the Barclays ATP World Tour Finals. It's a season ending top eight, 21 and unders, and we'll showcase this talent. We'll follow their journey from January when they start the ATP World Tour, picking up points all the way through. We'll have a separate ranking so you can see where they are in the under 21 rankings. And more importantly, we're going to test case new potential innovation in the game and look at different, you know, potential different rules for the future, and, you know, how we can engage just as importantly with the next generation of fans.
A lot of sports get criticised not doing events like that, so you'll get a lot of positive press from that, I'm sure. Have you decided on a venue there as well?
Yeah, we're down to the last two candidates, and so hopefully by the US Open we'll be able to announce which venue it's in.
The ATP World Tour Finals are hugely popular, and they're here in London until at least 2018. Would it then be reviewed then to see if you can go anywhere else?
Yeah, so it's been probably the biggest success story, that event. Lots of people doubted the success of it when we brought it from Shanghai to London. And, you know, every year we've had over 250,000 people. We had 263,000 people last year, which for a one court tennis event is quite phenomenal. That's two sessions of 18,000 a day, 15 sessions sold out. It's an incredible event. And we now just need to look at, you know, do we stay beyond 2018 or look at new markets? But it's such now a powerful product. We just got to be very careful that we look after it.
Because they're very associated together, aren't they, now? London and the ATP World Tour Finals. It's almost like a brand itself.
Yeah, it has been. I think just because we've kept it in one place before, the Tennis Masters Cup, as it was, had historically gone round the world 2 or 3 year sanctions. And, you know, the argument there was to take it into new regions and expose tennis to regions that maybe not have, you know, Grand Slams or anything, which is a good argument. My belief is that, whether we stay in London or you move somewhere else, it's got to be for a long period of time, because that's when you build an event.
Yeah, and just finally, there's always lots of talk about the tournament calendar, the tennis calendar over the year, and it's a big talking point at the moment with the ITF because of the Davis Cup and Fed Cup and all the changes that are going to take place there. How much of a challenge is that? Is it always being reviewed, and are we likely to see any radical changes in the future?
Yeah, so we're going through this process at the moment of actually reviewing our whole business top to bottom. One of it is calendar, also our ranking point structure. Have we got the best structure possible? But with calendar, we have 62 events on the ATP World Tour, and it's a very full calendar. And so it's set now through to 2018, and we're looking beyond that. So to 2019 onwards, what does the calendar look like? I don't see any radical changes at all, but we just need to take a review. Is it working to the optimum?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of the championships.
Thank you very much.